Yay, it's been a year.
Woohoo!
This is where we should put the hand claps now, so we should like move them around.
But the hand claps that we usually use are like a 60s beat, or like what do you got?
I don't know. I was just thinking that's where you put hand claps, like right after, like we've made it.
Yeah, we made it a year.
It's just as warm as it was, steamy as it was last year, even though we have switched garages.
It's true.
So we've got kind of a... We've got kind of a long show. Well, not a long show. A big show, I should say.
A special show.
A special show planned.
A very special blossom.
So we'll very special Different Strokes. So we'll play some music and we'll come back and we'll reminisce about the year that was a little bit. So, but for now, I'm Shane.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Mark.
Somebody likes it.
They weren't kidding.
Applause, applause, applause.
Yeah, I think everybody out. I think our studio audience is just as excited as we are that we made it a year.
It's a smattering of appreciation.
What has happened in this year? Quite a little bit has happened. We've switched garages a number of times. Kevin
procreated.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I was so inspired by the show, I created another life. So
it's quite. Hey, by the way, we should mention, and we should actually partake. Ryan brought us in a little bubbly.
True. Oh yeah, here, boys.
So we can clink.
Chin chin. Clink, as a friend clink. Of mine likes to say, here's Mark, looking up here, your old address.
Go. Yes.
All right, bubbles.
He's never told me what that means.
What he said? What?
That's what happens. We all talk on each other, then we lose the bit. But we'll fix it in post. And in the meantime. It's been
Kevin
a year.
Just told another
there
one
was
of
a
his
bit.
Jokes.
I don't know. I don't know. We were celebrating, right. And he said something, and I didn't know what he said.
It's okay.
Okay, so I still don't know what you said. So in honor of, well, I think I liked we. So those of you that are longtime listeners know that this is actually your idea last year, Kevin, to do on a Labor Day show.
The mixtape.
The mixtape, wherein instead of. Us picking or one of us picking an album, we watch the album, all three of us
listen to the album,
listen, oh sorry, you're right, yeah, all three of us will pick a video or a number of videos, and then we'll at the time last year we all knew what each other had picked, but this year or this show we don't know what
it's
the
a wild card it's yes. A wild card holiday.
I had a brief moment where I was worried that we'd pick the same thing, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen. It will blow my mind if you picked what I picked. Hey, by the way, before we get into this, I forgot, like, one of the big things when we were doing our reminiscing and then Kevin was jumping my shit for talking over his bit. I completely forgot that we need to thank Mark for coming into the show halfway through and becoming producer and you know, thanks,
you know,
Mark.
And if you think about it, the show is exactly a quarter better. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's measurable.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad to do my 25%.
Yes, exactly.
And a good 25% you've done. So,
isn't that the expression? Give it your 25%.
Give it your whole two bits. Isn't a quarter two bits?
It is. Or it was.
I don't know.
I don't know. Here's a
I don't
want
to talk about the etymology of the term two bits, but too much. I mean, we could do it. We could probably spend about half the show.
I think we should talk about music.
Well, and before we jump into the whole show, I will just say that it's been interesting. A lot of things have been interesting over the course of the year, not the least of which is when we started doing this show, we were admittedly kind of trying to figure it out and feel each other out and sort of figure out the way that the format would come together. And it's been that evolution for me has been fun. Also, it's really fun that some of the terrible records that we've listened to, I never have to do again on this show, in theory, please God. And beyond that, you know, we can tell, like, the passing of the seasons. We know when it gets exactly this hot in somebody's garage that it's been about a year.
It makes me wonder about people that live outdoor, like, I've become a lot more aware of the weather.
It makes you appreciate the 1930s. I was like, no wonder they had ice houses with giant blocks of ice, because that would be the only thing that would keep you hopeful that you would make it to winter.
Yeah, why would people live in Texas in the 1930s?
I don't know.
That's a whole other story. It's a there's a lot more live here now after air conditioning. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's funny. It's interesting to go back. There's a kind of a demarcation line of episodes that I do not want to go beyond. Not because I necessarily think that they're horrible. It's just we really were figuring out.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Can I ask you guys, just without going into any detail and without sidebarring us too much, if I ask you to name like one episode that you particularly got a kick out of, either during or like going back and listening to it, can you name one?
There's a couple.
I mean, I enjoyed talking shit about Meatloaf.
That one's on the top of the list.
That was a painful episode to endure.
I really liked, but
funny.
Well, and Ronnie James Dio was fun to talk about.
That was a fun one to talk about. A fun one to talk about, not necessarily to listen to. You weren't around for this one. Was our cat fight for the LCD sound system?
Oh yeah, that was. I have gone back and listened to that, and I thoroughly enjoy the.
It's pretty funny.
The bickering.
And I will say on that note, a show that you missed that I thought was actually really fun was the My Bloody Valentine show. It would have been more fun had you been there, but it turned out okay. Phil's dog ate a pencil during it.
Phil's fun. We should have him back on the show.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
Anyway, but at the very least, I just wanted to briefly reminisce. So what's going on?
So we're going to, you know, I don't know who wants to go first. We're going a little order here. I guess I could start up the festivities if you guys want.
That's fine. Sure. I mean, so, I've got one queued up. Mentally, but whenever, yeah, let's go you, then me, and then Kevin. How about
okay.
that?
Okay, right. Kay. So the first video that I picked for everybody to watch / listen to today is Rock Me Amadeus by Falco.
Oh, how's that go?
Yeah.
Rock Me Amadeus.
Yeah, we'll see in just a second, but as for now, we're gonna watch Rock Me Amadeus. Be
all
right.
Back. Ein Punker unterliegt in der großen Stadt, es war ihm wie im Vienna, wo er alles tat. Er hatte Schulden, denn er trank, doch ihn liebten alle Frauen. Und jede rief, na kann man Rock Me Amadeus. Er war Superstar, er war populär, er war so exaltiert, because er hatte Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rockidol. Und alles rief, na kann man Rock Me Amadeus. So you know what you never hear? That that phrase. You know that really great German comedian? Like, nobody ever says that.
It is a funny video.
It's a funny video, but it's not like...
not intentionally funny.
Well, and you kind of get the impression that like the German people are so ill-practiced at humor.
Well, he's Austrian, but...
Okay.
Same deal.
Just throwing it.
Yeah. Just a. He's not anything right now.
Oh yes, that's true.
but yeah. So maybe the Austrians are hilarious. I just don't know. But but the Germans are not.
And yeah. So that was a slice of 80s kraut pop.
1985, to be exact, and that song hit number one, and it's a weird. It was weird song.
With a bullet.
Well, and it makes no fucking sense.
It makes no sense, but I love how he gets out of the car in the beginning, and it's like he's walking into a hall and like some mansion, and people are dressed in ball gowns from the 1700s, and he's in a tuxedo, and he's just like very cocksure. He's like doing the finger gun
thing. There's a lot of mixing of time periods. Like some people are dressed like it's in the 1700s. He's dressed like it's 1985. There's various debaucheries going on,
and then toward the end of the video, when on that video, what we didn't see is on the song. Then there's like string parts. There's like classical string parts incorporated into the
song.
Well,
apparently there are many versions of this.
There are many versions of. In fact, I was just reading that later. There's an 8-minute long named the Salieri mix that appears on a later album. And what we missed on the video, what we did get was the Baby Baby Do It To Me Rock Me sung by
so this is like a synth heavy 80s kraut pop, and then all of a sudden like an R&B.
Well, but also, but it's got a kind of a Van Halen guitar lick in it. Like
it does have.
I was just gonna say, I kept an eye out for Eddie Van Halen, and And the what's his name? The other guy?
Other Van Halen.
The other guy?
From the other video.
What's his name? The other guy out
hanging
there?
Out from the other video. David Lee Roth.
That there exists some sort of alternate reality.
Oh, that's
where
right.
All...
Well, there's that too. That's right. Because there weren't there guys from that time period in the video that we watched? The Van Halen video?
Okay, you're talking about Pretty Woman. Oh, Pretty Woman. which did similar mixing of...
So
common sense.
Yes, that's true. One other thing that we didn't get to see in the video that you guys didn't get to hear, and I don't know if you remember this, is that there's a guy that comes in on the radio edit or the English part version of that song, and it's like 1756 Salzburg, January 27th, Wolfgang Amadeus is born. Do you remember this?
This is a huge
number one song, and then there's all this stuff. So he goes through this litany of facts, and at the end of it, he goes. 1985, Austrian rock singer Falco records, and then like this chant of like "Rock Me Amadeus." It's like a rock. It mixes every popular genre, and there's sax solos in there.
Your favorite thing,
which is never a good thing. Yeah. Just a truly, truly bizarre.
That is a really fucking weird song that got really,
really
high in the
popular,
charts. Really
yes.
popular.
And I'd love to ask. Well, I believe Falco died in a car accident in '95, but. Anyway, unfortunately.
Was he also responsible for Der Kommissar?
He was. 1998, he died. He was responsible for Der Kommissar. There is a humongous Wikipedia page on him, by the way, that I'm not going to go...
I think you should read it all verbatim.
I don't think you want me to do that. In fact, we're going to go ahead and go on to the next
You
want to
hear what my pick was?
Yes, I would love to hear what we're listening
we're
to.
We're about to... listen to and witness the phenomenon that is George Clinton's Atomic Dog from 1982.
Okay, excellent.
So let's get into it. Nasty Dog. Yes, Atomic Dog. I genuinely love that song. But
I do too.
I've never heard that song before.
Really?
Yeah.
So that song was a staple of every Friday night when I was in fifth grade. I would go to Lone Star Skate.
It sounds like a skating rink.
It was totally a skating rink song, and like I got exposed to it. And actually, my next song is too, but we won't get into that yet.
I know,
but
I've heard it sampled.
Oh, well, I've heard... Okay, there were two things I noticed, and neither of them were samples, one of which is in the beginning. I think they're saying Atomic Dog, but it was it's in the Snoop Doggy Dog, which...
Well,
the first single off
like
of
this
the
song
Dogfather.
Is probably more known from Snoop Dogg than...
Well, but also
the
Bow Wow Wow Yippee Yo Yippee Yay from Hip Hop Hooray. But both of those were appropriated, not sampled, which is interesting. Like the Bow Wow Wow...
It wasn't sampled. It was reappropriated.
It was sort of like
an homage.
Yeah, and the same thing with the Snoop Doggy Dog thing.
Yeah, no. Snoop Dogg owes a lot to George Clinton. But anyway, what a fun video, man. Like, it's a tribute to, like, chasing after women and 8-bit video games.
Yeah. What was the line that... the main line in the song?
Why must I be like that? Why must I chase the cat? Cat being a metaphor for something else.
I don't know that you needed to point that out. Well, I'm glad you did.
But that's not the dance. The dance was...
The dog catcher.
They would say, do the dog catcher. And then best I could tell, the dog catcher was somebody walking up to somebody else and then putting their hands like on their shoulders and then running them down their body like they were putting a net over them or something. Either that or they're just patting them down for weapons.
It's a complicated dance.
Yeah,
maybe. Dance. Yeah, that might have been like a companion dance to what was the bird. That
maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Shane, I'd like you to read a... So it's been established that George Clinton and Parliament and Funkadelic and all that, all his projects from back in the day have been widely sampled. But Shane, I'd like you to read this quote from George Clinton that happened a few years ago.
He goes, sure, sample my stuff, he remarked in 1996. Ain't a better time to get paid than when you're my age. You know what to do with money. You don't buy as much pussy or drugs with it. You just buy some.
Yeah, just some.
Not as many
drugs or pussy.
Well, he doesn't want to be like that.
But he's cutting his intake.
But he still must chase the cat.
Yeah, he must.
He doesn't chase that hard, though, it sounds like.
No.
Like, it's more
just
like
a
brisk walk.
That's how you do it. Oh, and we didn't comment on the fact that he's sitting in a chair in the beginning of the video in an arcade. And we're talking about like 1982, so like the apex
this
of
like... This was like cutting edge technology in 1982.
Yeah, but he's sitting in a chair and he's getting handfuls of quarters and just throwing them to people in the arcade.
Making it rain in the arcade.
Yeah, with quarters.
You don't even know. They might have been tokens.
Or tokens. It would be... Yeah. That actually would be even funnier.
That's exactly how it was at my local...
Yeah, for the first like 45 seconds of the video, like the camera just zooms in on him and he's just sitting there like in the forefront and the front of the arcade throwing tokens around to everybody, and then it just cuts away to like sexy dancing and stuff.
Well, you know, and the guy goes off to like some sort of antechamber at the arcade. You'd never go to the antechamber in the arcade.
So the VIP room.
You know why? Because you run into that guy.
That's right.
The champagne room.
Yeah, the arcade. The only other thing I wanted to bring up about George Clinton. Years ago when Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, both of whom I have kind of issues with or whatever, but they had good chemistry on the air, but they apparently had him as a guest on Love Lines back in the day. And you know, what genre is George Clinton primarily known for?
Funk?
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Guess what his hair smelled like?
Funky?
Funky. Totally funky. And apparently what he told them, and I didn't actually hear it, I just heard them recount it, but he was like, hey, man, if you gotta play funk, you gotta bring the funk. Like, he just never washed his hair, and it fucking smelled fucking horrific.
Wait, they were saying this in the studio? They were saying his hair
like
smelled
funky? He said that it smelled terrible.
It does remind me, there was an article that came out not very long ago about how many germs there were in the average, you know, like
the average dragonor's
beard.
Yeah, like, but that's
even if it's horse shit. Like, maybe that's where it came from. Is George Clinton's hair?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
That's where dreads come from, because you're not looking forward to finding out.
And he's back,
hey Dad.
Hey, yeah. Kevin's back.
That's what happens. You don't step on me, bitches.
See you. That's true. I guess
Kevin is back, and Kevin actually, after he finishes pouring a beer into a chalice, is going to tell us what he brought along for his first selection.
Oh, yeah. So the first track we'll do, we're going to take Couple Skate into the present day or closer to the present day. And I think this song came out last year, but I intentionally have chosen songs that I thought could make it onto a holiday weekend playlist of some sort. So maybe you're out grilling in your hammer pants like from last week.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I just randomly watched an episode of The Simpsons last night where it's like Behind the Laughter, and they buy MC Hammer's mansion from him. It's like a fake, like this, you know, behind the music thing. And Bart Simpson's only like wearing like all the extra leftover hammer pants.
Hammer pants?
Yeah. Oh, you get all of them?
It's, yeah. Like, no, yeah. He said he found a room full of them. So I'm just, all I'm saying is that I think that I retroactively with The Simpsons started a new trend.
Yeah, that joke's got legs.
Yeah, apparently.
Whoa, that's a good one.
All right, so anyway, so I went a little bit more current with this first selection. And again, it's designed to be something that you might hear. I don't know if it's a party that you're throwing or you're invited to or just one that you stumble into or are dragged to. This could be any of those.
I think you've covered all your bases.
Yes, it's this is the Bleachers track, I Want to Get Better.
Television and put on the about to give up on the past, cause I've frozen time between hearses and caskets. Lost control when I panicked at the acid test. I wanna get better.
So, as you can tell, super similar to Atomic Dog in right. almost every way.
Or Rock Me Amadeus. Like, very, I think we're all pretty simpatico.
Yeah, no, if you take some time and watch the video, you should. It's a little bit of a slow burn, but it gets weirder as it goes on. And it's Jack Antonoff, who's the guy from Fun, who some people know as Mr. Lena Dunham.
I was just going to say, this band, it's my vote for the band most likely to open for Fun.
Yeah, and they might, because at least one of them will already be there.
I like the video worlds more than I like the song. Like, the song, it's...
The song just seems crafted for a teen movie montage.
It is anthemic, and I wanted to choose
absolutely.
Anthem.
That's the word that I kept coming back to.
But in a small way, it's the same thing with Fun, like... Anthemic without like huge like strings or thing that, but eventually at the end of it they have the backing chorus, you know, like the church chorus or something, like where all the people actors in the video. The video was entertaining. It was a slow build. It got better. It got funnier and weirder. The end of that video is classic. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah,
that was worth. That was
all cameos in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad song. It kind of was a bad song.
No, like, it's anthemic. That's the overriding.
Yeah, it just the whole. So that it's I want
like,
to get
it
better.
It sounds like it was crafted to be placed in film.
Maybe it was the song saying it wanted to get better. How about that?
Yeah,
Jim? Dude,
that's
blowing my mind over
pot,
here.
Slow boil it.
That is some fucking meta shit. But you know, as usual, you were right on the money with
bringing
that.
It.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do know that I love, if you go back and watch the video, like your eyes are just complete the way that the angle, that crazy wallpaper that's behind them.
Yeah.
The video, it's kind of filmed like a little movie, starts out and it's completely it's like in the pool. It's sort of like a Melrose Place looking horseshoe apartments around a pool, and there's a woman floating in the pool, and you think it's going to be it's a lot more comic, and then it shifts to a woman walking out of an apartment with a lamp and some other stuff, breaking up with this guy. Then the guy goes to some office building. Turns out he's a psychiatrist, and he's interviewing all of these people. And so basically,
that would be the twist.
I thought it was kind of interesting that when his girlfriend breaks up with him at the beginning of the video, apparently the only thing she brought was like her purse and a lamp.
Yeah,
like
there was a bird or something.
Was there
a
bird?
There, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but. You know, weird odds and ends. There's no toothbrush. Well, like, whatever.
No.
Like,
no, you don't need that.
She's like, I got to read sometimes. I'm going to need this here lamp.
It's LA, Kevin.
She can buy a new toothbrush. A lamp, though. Come on.
What was the other thing that was rare? There's some funny little bits, like the two.
He was like, you know, so what do you think's going on with you? And she was like, maybe it's because you're a selfish dickhead or something like to her therapist.
Yeah. And then the other woman is saying, like, your ketchup toast is ready to the girl floating in the pool.
It's like the shittiest LA apartment complex you've ever seen.
The video was highly entertaining. Yeah. Worlds better than the song. If I heard that song, I would change the channel immediately. But
I've eaten some pretty down market food, but I don't think I've ever had ketchup toast.
I've known people that eat shit like that, though. I swear to God.
Used to eat A1 sauce on bread.
Ketchup turkey.
Me too.
Yeah, same thing.
High five.
Right here. I knew there was a reason we were friends.
Oh, God.
Because we ate A1 sauce on bread.
That's the reason right there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look at
that. We don't like the Coen brothers.
That's the end of round one,
fellas. We don't like weed.
Don't like weed. That's true.
Those are like the three reasons we're friends.
We made it to the end of round one.
Oh, yes. All right. Round one. Okay. So we did a video from the 80s. Now I'm doing a video from the 90s. Mid-80s last time. 2000 or 1985. Now I'm going to do 1990 or somewhere around there, 1995, 96. And this is the band Chavez. They were an indie rock band in the mid-90s. And the video that I want to play by them is Break Up Your Band, which is one of, well, we'll talk about it in a minute.
I know nothing about this.
And we'll watch the video and we'll come back and talk about it in a minute. Was I right?
Oh, no. Good song, even better video.
Great song, great video. I hope, Kevin.
I'm still processing it. Like, crying out loud. That was quite so. I did dig the song, and the video was memorable.
Well, what I particularly loved was the contrast between, like, the sort of stone-faced mid-90s-ish of the band. And just the ridiculousness of the video.
Let's not underestimate the power of the editing in that video either.
Like, oh, that's like, why. Okay, huge. So let me back up. So I saw that video for the first time.
So it's Chavez.
It's Chavez.
Break up your band.
Which was a math rock, indie rock band, mid-90s. Matador put out a couple other records.
Easily would have fit on a bill with, like, Superchunk and Archers of Loaf or something like that.
Archers of Loaf is what they sound like to me. Archers of Loaf put out a similar kind of sounding album around the same time as that record came out. But the first time I ever saw that record, I mean, saw that video, it was late at night. I was drinking, watching Austin Music. I remember the night I was watching the Austin Music Network, which is the late departed.
Oh, dear, like missed.
Yeah,
man.
City of Austin had
it was like in an old like porn theater. I think they had converted.
Originally, and then it ended up moving. But they carved out one of their cable access channels and made a video network for several years. But so I would stay up late with friends and watch videos on this. And one night this came on, and it was one of the few, like, I felt like I was like high. I was laughing so hard. My stomach hurt. Like, I'm rolling on the ground. I'm crying. And this is pre-internet, so I can't go back and rewatch it again.
You never cried before the internet?
True.
Young. Shane has cried a lot, and he's that kind of unrepentant about it. Mike, that's one of the things I like about you.
I'm like John Boehner. We're very similar people.
Yeah. You're just like John Boehner. Shane is orange, by the way. I don't know if people can know that about him. But
maybe it's the drinking.
So possibly so. There is that. Yeah. So in the video, you know, it's a difficult to explain song. It's sort of math rock. That's, you know, two guitars.
It's mid-90s indie rock.
Yeah.
And good, like a better example of it than a lot that was produced at that point. But it's definitely mid-90s indie rock.
But the superstar of the show is, like you were saying, it starts out, there's a guy that's in, like, sort of a maroon suit. He's got kind of flowing hair a little bit. And there's some women in the crowd. And he, like, says the end of a joke, or he just says, like, next up, the boys from Chavez, the men from Chavez.
And he looks
Howard Sternish type.
He's like if Howard Stern and Kenny G had a kid together.
Exactly.
He looked very familiar. Yeah. I recognize. Yeah, I think he's freaky. In another band. Yeah. And so then, and it's this audience of middle-aged normal women, and they're clapping, and then the band comes on, and they start playing this music, and they're off to the side of the stage, and then it's just a litany of
non sequiturs.
Well, there's non sequiturs, but they're punctuated by. Dick dancers in
oh, that's true.
In various
Shane used to have gay roommates.
Did you forget about
and
that part?
So, yeah,
oh, that, the, oh, I almost, yeah.
The guys who dance on pedestals in gay bars are called Dick Dancers.
Dick Dancers, yeah. I think everybody, well, I think that everybody knows
they're
that.
All named the same thing?
They're all named Dick, yes. Oh, Richard at birth. Yeah. But,
and they do, and they do the Dick Dance.
They're all really a coincidence.
They're copies of the first guy. His name is Dick Dancer. Coincidentally.
They were just male strippers, I think, was the way most people know them. But,
right,
yeah.
Male strippers.
Yeah. So it was a derivative of the dog catcher, I think.
So, what, did you take offense to the term Dick Dancer?
No, but like, I don't think everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you were kind of matter of fact about it. Like, you were saying the word Coke machine or something. Like,
oh, sorry. I don't know. I guess it's been a part of my lexicography for a long time. Like, yeah, male strippers.
Okay.
So there's a litany of male strippers in various increasingly insane costuming. Not insane, but
there's a fireman where there's no fire. There's a
there's an Asian man that's brought to the stage on a rickshaw.
Yeah.
Being carried by two men in costumery from like 1890s China.
There's some lion tamers.
There's a lion that breaks loose. Yeah.
There's a lion, and then he bangs his knee, and so he gets in a lot of pain.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was a lot of attention paid to that.
Yeah.
And then it ends with a spaceman descending from the ceiling, and the women really don't like that. Oh, by the way, the women are completely disinterested in all of these male strippers.
The interesting contrast for me was, like, the women are really interested in the shitty comedian who, he's totally apathetic. Like, that guy couldn't care less. And the women are really into that.
They dig him.
Yeah. And then all the
beefcake dudes come out, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah, they're literally, there's some women yawning, dude. That's what makes it so funny.
It's hilarious. It's pretty funny.
Very, very funny video. I am so happy to share that with you guys.
No, Shane, I'm going to go back, like, on my own time and soak in the greatness that is Chavez.
I have to tell you this, Ryan. It's taken me so many weeks. I've known. I remember this video about two.
You've
months
had this
ago.
like dialed up.
I keep wanting to text you when I'm drunk, and you have to watch this. And I have to keep
you
stopping
saved
myself.
It up.
I saved it up, which I'm not very good at. But this time I was. Okay, so moving forward,
I'm up next.
Ryan, you are up next.
It's another of my skating rink nuggets. A song by Air Supply.
All Out of Love.
No, but I had that.
The heart.
It's funny you bring that up because I fucking had that song stuck in my head the other day. And it wouldn't go away.
To this day, I so hate that song.
Oh, I hate it so much.
Which means
got,
Shane will pick the
it
album.
It just got
next
stuck
week.
In my head, and I've actually thought about like playing a song that's just intentionally really bad, but I'm not gonna do that to you guys. And fuck you, Mark. No, this is a song that by a band that I truly love, and it's actually the first band that I ever saw in concert of my own volition. Like, you know, our parents dragged us to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and at some point we should tell the Cool and the Gang story, but I don't think we've got there yet.
So great. But yeah.
But you know, do you know the first band I ever saw in concert that I bought a ticket to and went to?
No.
Cheap Trick.
Well, look at you, Badge of Honor.
I to this day love them, and I mean, I don't love every song they ever did,
but that's a good first step.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that I was doing a cool thing when I was in eighth grade, but...
By going to see Cheap Trick?
Cheap Trick, yeah. But the song that I'd like us to watch the video for and dissect is She's Tight. I don't know why this is a favorite memory, but back in the day at Lone Star Skate on the Friday nights, by the way, I had speed skates, so I was cool.
Or speed skates, like
they're like skates but faster.
Low profile.
Well, I mean, they had like really nice wheels, and they were like $120 or something. Like they were expensive.
Yeah, Ryan was participating.
$83 or whatever. But anyway, this was a song they played a bunch, and then I'd go request it, and I remember like asking I'm sure this is like the lowest rung of the DJ ladder, is doing Friday nights at a skating rink for a bunch of like 11-year-olds.
You guys just get off.
But we just thought it was like, we thought it was great. I remember requesting like, "Hey man, can you play She's Tight?" And he's like, "Aren't you a little young for that?" And I didn't really get it until later. I just remember like, "No, it's just a good song." Well,
there were.
What's a video?
That song is in a long line of songs that double entendre songs, I've never heard that song before. Not to my conscious knowledge. Yeah. No,
we've never talked about Cheap Trick. You and I, like, for all
I know
the
three Cheap Trick songs, and we talked about this in the break. I know I Want You to Want Me. I know
you have to know Surrender.
I know Surrender, and I know The Flame.
Oh, God.
And that's Those it.
Are, that's it.
Dream Police.
No, I have no idea. Oh yeah, no.
Really?
I have no idea.
Well, you guys can pick any Cheap Trick song. Maybe that's a record that we should do down the road after
Dream
after
Police.
The lingering memory of
you were thinking this was on Dream Police. It's on One on One.
Oh, okay. It is, all right. Yeah.
Coming from somebody that doesn't know Cheap Trick at all, I'm very familiar with the whole Rick Nielsen thing with the bow ties and the beanie hat and the six-neck guitar.
Yeah. Well, when I saw them at that show, he brought out – I mean, he played like a different guitar on every single one of them. And one of them he called Uncle Dick, and it was a two-necked guitar shaped like an old dude. That's the only way I can like put it.
Oh, that's right. Well, and the necks of the guitar were
the necks of the guitar were his legs.
That's right.
And his body and head were like, you know, what are the body of the guitar.
I saw them when they were in Austin last year. And
how was that?
Great. That was totally great. It was like every Cheap Trick fan, and then like you look down and like a lot of these shows, like you can see, you know, it was at the Moody where they record ACL. And usually like down in the front row, like you can see a few super fans and they exhibit the super fan behavior. But the funny thing was at this show, I looked down there and there was exactly that going on. And I was like, oh, that guy's in that band and that guy's in that band and that guy's in that
band.
Oh
yeah. They're a band's band.
Yeah.
Like people who like it from a wide spectrum of genres. People love Cheap Trick. And in fact, I'm a follower of the Facebook page Put Cheap Trick in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Which I suggest everybody join and encourage
as
well.
It's good to have a cause.
Yeah.
But they're all rounder now and like whatever. But it was still arguably, it was a trip.
A bunch of people you'd seen play in various bands.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
The one thing, so getting back to this video real quick before we get out of here about this one in particular, I just want to posit this question to you guys. So this song is obviously taking on some tropes of early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and which went into all the way through the 80s with like the loose and fast women. I kind of felt like how comedic the band was, kind of it was like a send up, like how obvious it was like that they were making a joke of it. Did anybody
maybe? I mean, they definitely have an undercurrent of humor in their stuff.
Well, that could be. Otherwise, it's.
I mean,
honestly,
but I mean, it was too over the top sexually.
It was 1982, and so like the okay. So a recurring theme in the video is mostly a performance video, but a recurring theme in the video is like, you know, cherry red lips
from a woman.
From a woman, like
only the lips.
Yeah, only the lips. Like the very salacious. Go ahead.
Sorry. The funny thing about the lips is that. That I kept thinking about, like, when you're shooting that, like, how she would have to, whatever it is that she had to say, like, her, like, bits in the song, she couldn't enunciate, like, because they had to fit in the frame, and so it looks stilted. Like, I think that, like...
It does look, but it also, it looks stilted, but it I think a reason why it looks that way is because they're trying to get, I mean, when you say salacious, I mean, I think that's...
It's intentional, but it's a campy.
But it's over the top, like, salacious.
Camp. Yeah, like camp, I feel the right like there's word. Humor involved. Like at one point, like the chorus is like, "She's tight, she's tight," and then like Rick Nielsen at one point like leers into the camera, like, you know, giving a sideways eyebrow raise, like, "She's tight," mouthing that.
I mean, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, it's got to be fun. Yeah. It's got to be humorous.
Maybe he just meant that she is good friends with somebody.
Yeah, they're real tight.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Okay, I think we've talked about this. I was just,
or maybe she just doesn't like to spend money.
It's that.
She's thrifty was the original version of that.
And they reworked it in the studio. Yeah.
And then what is he saying at one point? He's like, her hair is real tight.
She's got her hair down tight. And I don't know what the hell that means.
I didn't. Is it hair or head?
Hair.
I think it's hair. She's got her hair down tight. She gets up, and I'm telling you guys.
Oh, she's
like
presentable.
17 minutes tops, her hair's done and ready to go.
Oh, sure.
She's out the
okay.
door.
She's got it down. All right, kids. Kevin, you got next.
Yeah, so this is going to be really similar. This is Old Dirty Bastard, Shimmy Shimmy Ya.
I was going to guess that.
Yeah. Yeah, which is
very
which
similar.
Is, so we're moving on to the pool party. So let's do the pool party now.
So I can take her away. Off on a natural charge, bone for yards. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu Tang Killer, he's on the score. Rain on your college ass disco drum. When you didn't even touch my skill, you gotta go to one killer B, and he ain't gonna kill now. Chop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick cement to the ground. For an EMC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer Norman Bay. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage, I'm in a dip dip. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it.
So that was Old Dirty Bastard, Shimmy Shimmy Ya, which some of you may recognize from
Office Space.
No, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't.
Wasn't
no,
it,
it wasn't
Space?
Office Space. It was the opening cut in Knocked Up, actually.
Okay, yeah, I knew it. Yeah. I knew it was from a movie.
Oh, okay, that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, this guy's fascinating to me for a variety of reasons, not the least of which was before he OD'd, or as Mark said, ODB'd, he had just recorded his third record, and the first two did well, and so and it's still unreleased. Like, he has a third record that...
I'm sure that will come out at some point along with the accompanying hologram.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, right. Yeah. So he has more material in the can. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. The other thing I thought was particularly interesting about this song was that it was the video was directed by a guy who has the most perfect name for a hip hop video director that I've ever heard, and that is Hype Williams.
Hype Williams is an excellent hip hop video director name. You're right.
Like, I was like, really? And then, if you look on the Wikipedia entry, it says citation needed. So
did I ever tell you the name of the? And maybe I shouldn't, but I just will anyway. The name of the drug dealer I knew like 20 some odd years ago, Eddie Sharkey. Like, he basically had to be a drug dealer, like,
yes.
From birth. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Name's Eddie Sharkey. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it broke somebody's legs, worked in the mafia somewhere.
Exactly.
This is what I wanted to say about this video and this song. Well, did you have something?
Don't forget where you are, but I was just going to say.
I won't.
So I chose songs that would represent different kinds of parties that might happen.
Grilling out in the backyard.
Yeah,
this is one of them.
This well, this is this
grills.
Is this is the this is the pool party version.
Pool party, or somebody just got sprung from prison.
Yeah, could be got sprung from prison and went straight to a pool party.
Well,
yeah,
okay, this is what I want to say about this. This everything about this song and this video, which the video is definitely worth watching. Multiple times, I'm going to need to watch it again. The two words that best describe both of these entities to me are profoundly confusing. There was nothing. Yeah. I have no. There's no sense of narrative in the video in any way. At one point, they're kind of like it makes no sense ever.
You're not wrong. And the Wikipedia entry for this song says, you know, Hype Williams did the music video, and then it says, the video shows a depiction of the 1970s in which large afros and platform shoes were considered fashionable.
But no, but it kind of does.
Seems like a Lost Chappelle Show sketch or something.
It does.
Totally does. It's not that the beginning of it, they're in like present day dancing around with, by the way, the least enthusiastic female video dancers I've ever seen, which is in and of itself just brilliant. And then it does shift over into like the 70s things, and at some point he's like hitting boards like with karate chops and stuff, which is great. And then at the end it's just him surrounded by a couple of his entourage, and they're talking about Wu-Tang Clan.
Is that how we're pronouncing it?
Well,
now?
Yes, Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah. Wu-Tang Clan.
Sorry, I didn't know. Mark was talking to Kevin.
The other thing that occurred to me about this song is like, so they do a little bit of a lot of like sort of dancing at the camera and throwing themselves at the camera, like not as directly as say like the Beastie Boys who we talked about last week, but it occurred to me, I was like, so we all know that the point of view that they're throwing themselves at is the camera, and so they're like dancing at the camera, but I thought like, what if it wasn't a camera? What if it was like just a lamp? Or like from the lamp from the earlier video?
I'm sure that's like, what it was. It was the lamp from the earlier video.
And these guys are like super fixated on some weird object. Wait, in the middle.
Well, okay, what kept coming back to me is one of the refrains that keeps coming back in the song is, I like it raw. And yeah. Didn't this guy father like a shit ton of kids?
Yeah, he had a little correct. Bit of Eazy-E going on, I think.
Yeah, he spread his seed far and wide.
Do you guys remember at the Grammys, like around like 97, 98, when Sean Colvin was accepting her Grammy? Like, I remember watching this, like,
oh,
one
God.
Of the only times I've ever watched the Grammys, and he like rushed the
I don't know that
stage.
I've ever heard Sean Colvin spoken about in the same breath as...
I forgot about this, yeah. And I was just reading about it right now. And he says to the state, and I completely remember this happening, and she's like a deer in the headlights the whole time. And he tells the audience, he announced that he had recently purchased expensive clothes in anticipation of winning the Grammy Awards. So that's all that needs to be said right now. But yes, I think that everybody needs to remember that the two least likely... God, that would be like a great crime-fighting team or something. Like Sean Colvin,
an old dirty bastard. I would so watch that.
That's like
they would fight music crime.
They're the Mel Gibson and Danny Glover of the music world, if you know what I'm like.
He's getting too old for this shit.
He's getting too old and dirty and bastardy.
All right.
Round three.
That was great, by the way. Again, I just want to say one more thing, and I've already said it, but profoundly confusing. I am confused in every way about what just occurred in that video.
So go confuse yourself.
Go confuse myself?
Not you.
The listening audience, listener.
Yes.
Well, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So go confuse yourself and confuse confusion
and entertain.
Apparently, I can't talk at all tonight. Wu-Tang Clan. Okay. So round three.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan. round three. I've been picking.
And should you tell everybody? So we're gonna run. We're intentionally running a little bit long tonight. We're gonna, because this is a special episode. Shane suggested that we each do
three songs.
We do. Yeah, we each do a few tracks, and maybe one track more than we did on the last time that we did our mix. Easy for me to say.
Our misstep show.
Yeah.
Super giant, extra big, special show.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna
super karate monkey death card.
Yeah,
I knew you were going there. Greatest episode of a news radio ever. Super yes. karate monkey death card.
Anyway, I'm stepping on Shane's moment. Go ahead.
Okay, so no, you're not stepping on anything. So 80s, 90s, aughts, and so my aughts. So I'm doing right around the middle. We started with Falco, Rock Me Amadeus, then we Chavez, Break Up Your Band. Last video that I want to watch tonight, pretty similar to both of those, which are very similar to each other.
Of course.
And that's Britney Spears' Toxic. So
I cannot wait.
We're going to go watch this video, and we'll be right back.
Toxic. Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape. I can't wait. I need a hit. Baby, give me it. You're dangerous. I'm loving it.
Was Toxic by Britney Spears, which was Skylar's idea. I was looking for a video from the aughts that in no way tied into the two other videos. But, it, you know, it's funny because it actually kind of ties into some videos that you guys, or that it makes no sense. It's just a bunch of random scenarios where Britney Spears has quasi or not even quasi sexual relations in different costuming
in
with different men.
States of, I won't say undress, but there's definitely something she's wearing that could be called an undress.
The sparkly thing. Yes, that video is why, if it's not why she's famous, it feels to me that should be.
No,
why
she's famous from that pervy thing where she was dressed as a schoolgirl. Easy killer.
That's why I put the top on.
Yeah. No, she's famous from being in that like pervy schoolgirl video.
Oh right. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a few. This is several years.
This video.
Yeah.
Well, she's grown up in this video.
She's all grows up, yes. At some point, we should talk about, not tonight, but the band Travis did a very straight cover.
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Good. Like,
it's really good.
Yeah, I remember
it
that.
It turned a pop confectionery song into like a really good,
they did an earnest rendition
song
of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was
That just goes to show when people can take a song like that and make it not, they didn't change it that much. They just made it acoustic, really.
Right.
That says a lot about the writing of the original song. Like if you strip away the artifice and you're left with, you know, the bones of a good melody and a good song there.
Yeah. And they it was the campfire rule or whatever that, you know, like, you
yeah,
can,
right. If you can play it on an acoustic guitar around a camp, well, as opposed to, and there's another thing that was happening around the time that they did that. And that was the ironic acoustic guitar song where guys would take rap songs.
No, but Travis made a point to say like, no, we think it's a good song,
which is, you know, I think they're both, you know, the Travis song, which is why, you know, however many years, 15 years later, we're still talking about and listening to the Travis song, whereas when people would, you know, the band that
do the ironic
the Boys in the Hood,
yeah.
So I mean, you know, we're not talking about that.
Can we talk about the fact that I don't know if it's that Britney Spears is maybe not a terrific employee, or or maybe it's just that airline is suspect. I don't know.
Well, she starts and ends the video as a stewardess. So.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's
been a flight attendant for a long time.
Yeah. Leave much to be desired.
Yeah. Really. Mark says the screening practices leave much to be desired. And my concern would be, actually, this is true. Years ago, I was working with somebody who was originally from Hartford, Connecticut, and Southwest Airlines had just started flying into Hartford, and her brother had been living overseas and caught a flight back to the U.S., and then he caught a leg of a flight back from, I don't know where it was, like New York to Hartford or Philly to Hartford or something, and it was a Southwest flight, and so they were trying to interject their, if you've never flown Southwest Airlines, they're very silly, and almost
that is
kitschy.
True. They make jokes constantly.
Yeah, and it's sometimes they hit and sometimes they don't, but like, in general, like they try and keep the cabin pretty loose. Anyway, this guy flies over, you know, flying back home, and he was like, they started wising up with Weisenheimering with everybody, and he was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this never happens in Europe, and maybe this plane is going down, and he was very concerned. And all I could think of was like, well, on the Britney Spears version of that, like, maybe,
yeah, she starts making out with,
maybe he doesn't care.
They kind of set it up where she's there was a slightly overweight, bespectacled, not well-dressed gentleman, and they set it up in the video of where she's pointing, and he's like, who, me? Later, he takes off his mask, and he's like a beautiful male model. But you know, you've got to think that if she were at the time doing that to him, it must have gone through his mind like, shit, if I'm the guy she wants to fuck, is this plane going down? Should I be concerned about this?
Yeah.
So Spears said she wanted to join, this is from Wikipedia, Spears said she wanted to join the Mile High Club and be a stewardess that kissed a man in the bathroom. Con.
That's not what the Mile High Club is,
Con,
by the way.
Con, the producer, or director of the video, Con, Joseph Con, suggested making him a fat man so the common man would feel represented.
He did that in air quotes. Mark did. Can I say, by the way, like, just real quick, apparently, Ryan, both you and I have, like, slipped into, like, mid, like, 1971 in like, our worldview. Like, I'm, like, doing Chopsocky jokes now, and you're calling, like, stewardesses, like we've all been.
You know, when I thought about that, when I said, I was like, oh yeah, I guess that's like not politically correct anymore.
No, and neither is me going like, oh, whatever. Like,
whatever. She's a flight attendant. She's a stewardess.
I'm just going to say that Hype Williams.
She's, you know what? She's dressed as a stewardess.
A different.
Yeah, probably.
She's dressed as a stewardess.
Correct.
In the way that stewardesses were were called stewardesses.
The Ducati driver, the male model on the Ducati, is Tyson Beckford.
Yeah, that's
not
what I thought. It's another very famous male model who's been.
Oh yeah, we had this whole discussion. By the way, like we're watching this Salacious video.
It wasn't Taye Diggs. No, it was another just really attractive African American dude.
Yes, shirtless. Yeah. Which this is the old guy in me. I was like,
this is the old guy.
I was like, that's not safe.
And if you've ever been on a Ducati and had bugs hit you. When you're bare chested, it's not comfortable.
If you've ever,
one can imagine. I just think it's very funny that's how we spent a large part of the video having the discussion of who the male model was, and instead of salivating over Britney Spears.
No, she looked great. And let's not mince words. Like she looked outstanding. Like there's no. She's in her prime.
Well, what was it that your bandmate said to you when you first saw this video?
Oh, he said, yeah, that's right. So we talked about, I didn't want to tell the whole story, but we were in a late night party hotel room, and we were just sitting in front of the TV. When this video came on, we were both drawn to it, and there was no sound on it. We were just watching it, and it ended, and he looked over at me, and he goes, "She's a very pretty lady." but not in a very guileless voice. Like,
well, yeah, that's Derek. You know, he's a pretty, you know, dialed in kind of guy. But like, yeah, I could totally hear him saying, "She's a very pretty lady," and that is in fact true.
And that is true. Yes, and also an incredibly confusing. And also, they spent a lot of money on that video. That's like,
by the way,
that looks really expensive.
Can I just say at this point, the soundtrack for the show would be really interesting.
It would be all over the place, and it's about to get
place. But, like, great. There are a lot of these songs I'm really getting a kick out of.
Like, if we actually made a mixtape and disseminated it to...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
It's about to get a little more all over the place.
Where are we going, Ryan?
We're going... Actually, I picked this sort of in homage to Shane. I picked Gene, which...
Hopefully the band.
It's the band, not our mother. She
it's like home movies from the 70s.
I was thinking maybe it was Autry.
No, but the band Gene from the 90s. And we were talking the other day about how much nobody sounds like Morrissey. Well, okay, except for these guys. So the song is called Olympia, and let's get into it.
Something I can hold, my God. So bring me water. I took cool off. How can you define such grand designs? And I'm flattered that you thought I'm a good reward. How can you survive a mind made of lies? And I'm flattered that you thought it's gonna taste this good reward. Formidable.
Yes, Gene, and Olympian, not Olympia.
Same thing.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of friction going on in the garage.
No, it's not friction. It's just Mark was saying he sounds exactly like Morrissey, and I was saying I don't
say exactly.
Well,
I don't think it sounds exactly, but it, dude, this song could be on, put Morrissey's vocals in it, and it could be on Vauxhall 9.
To me, I find this band and this song and this, I know this record fairly well, I find it to sound a lot like Morrissey and the Smiths, but so did, and you know, anything that was, unless it were Britpop or some sort of like post-punk thing that were happening in between, like, let's see, 1990 and 2000 and 2001, when basically you know, like right around that time, like Radiohead and Coldplay sort of grasped the paradigm,
popular zeitgeist.
Well, yeah. I mean, like,
I would say that your point is valid. I think that there was a lot of this going on, but I'm specifically talking about the timbre of his voice.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I guess, like, for me, it's just, it never really sounded like Morrissey to me. And I'm not saying this, like, it's not like,
well, nobody sounds exactly like Morrissey, but this guy is obviously very influenced by Morrissey.
Influenced by him. I just don't think he's more influenced. And like I always felt like the knock on this band was they were Smiths or Morrissey knockoffs, and I never really saw that as much, and I still didn't like listen to. I felt like they sound like other bands that.
Well, you thought it sounded like Trash Can Sinatra.
I think it sounds so
well, Trash Can Sinatra's
like,
were Smiths influence for
of course,
sure.
Yeah, but so like you know it goes back in a complete circle, like what I was saying, like bands in the UK in between like 1984 and shit. Like you know, to some degree, now you know there's a bunch of bands that are influenced by him.
Kevin, what do you think?
Well, let me tell you what I think, Ryan. You know, I think to some the thing about criticism is that sometimes there is a kernel of truth in there somewhere, and I think where this band is concerned, and certainly like this song is kind of a harbinger of that. They do so. The inflection is very similar to the way that Morrissey delivers songs.
Uh-huh.
It's not an exact replica, but like yeah. And frankly, like I don't think it's quite as good. And so I could see why folks are like why they make that connection, why the band was good enough to get noticed, but why they didn't take off forever. Like you know, and live in the heart the same way that.
Well, I think this was like their biggest hit, and it's got
no
maybe
Sleepwell Tonight. I think was their biggest hit.
Was it?
In the States, it was. Yeah.
All right. Well, I do think it's a genuinely good song.
It's a slow builder. I mean, it's
highly influenced by, and I don't want to say the Smiths. I want to say Morrissey.
The one thing, guys. We haven't talked about the video at all.
The video's great. Well, it's in a sex club in mid '90s. Basically, it's a. I mean, they never. It's
and
never,
ladies make out, but like you can't really see it.
Yeah,
not
they're
sure if they're ladies.
There are ladies that make out, but there's like light bondage going on. There's water that's dripping and stuff, and there are two obvious. They make it obvious that they're two ladies, but there's like a light flash that blurs their faces. I mean, you gotta remember, you know, we're talking about the mid '90s. Whereas now, like one woman would be on top of her, like humping, or you know, like I kissed. You gotta remember, like remember, there was the I kissed a girl in the mid '90s that was like, I
oh yeah,
kissed
Jill,
a girl.
Jill Sobule.
Yeah, it was like da da da. I kissed, oh, and, like covering her eyes and stuff. And then like you know, 20 years later, then you had like Katy Perry, like I kissed a girl and I liked it, and you know,
yeah,
like,
it's all up in your face.
Yeah, yeah, and not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not anything wrong with that. Said, boy, you got to put it all up in my face, man.
Hey, shut the tail up.
Anyway, yeah, no, like, I remember that record when it came out, and I remember that band, and I remember that era, And it's interesting to revisit it in modern times. I don't sort of see it exactly the same way. I do, you know, I think it's a worthy part of the canon, but not necessarily.
Yeah, it's a good song, and that's kind of what when I was looking up this band, they show up on a lot of like lists of like good Britpop songs, but they're not going to top anything.
No, yeah, look, they're shooting for the middle.
I think.
Probably not intentionally,
that's the thing. There were better bands than them. It's a lot of good background music, like playlist music, like, you know, dinner party. It's the kind of band that if you had a few friends over, you had it on your playlist and it's a dinner party that somebody would go like, what is this? What are you listening to? Like, it's that kind of band. You know, like, what is this?
Yeah, but people aren't going to get up and spontaneously start boogieing down.
No, but there would be some guy.
Who's like, oh, yeah, I think I know this.
Hey, what? This sounds great. What is this? Oh, I don't know. My iPad's over there, or my computer's over there. Just go check it out.
All right, producer Mark is reining us in. So that means we're back to Kevin.
Yeah, so my last one, and I figured we'd go to an interesting place with the last type of party that I wanted to represent, and this would be the party where you may or may not see a celebrity make an ass of themselves. And
that party,
yes,
yeah, that we've all been to.
Continue.
This is Fatboy Slim's weapon of choice.
Nice.
Oh man, yeah,
which is both great and great. So the main cog in that video is, of course, a floating, spinning, and dancing Christopher Walken. But the thing that not everybody knows is that Bootsy Collins is the voiceover. Like, he's the...
I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's Norman Cook. It's Fatboy Slim. He formerly of the House Martins.
He was in the House Martins.
He was. He made his bones in the House Martins before he became something else entirely.
He made a lot of bones in the something else entirely. I know he's still actually getting called up to DJ sets.
I'm sure.
Yeah, like all over the world.
I just want to say this. I know that Christopher Walken probably can do wrong. I just don't know that I've seen him do it yet.
Well, it's like, because there's so much camp in like him trying. Like, you just never are sure whether he's trying to play it cool or whether this is how it turns out. But it's great. It was so great. Like,
and I think he's canny too.
That's true. Yeah, and probably more careful than he lets on.
Exactly.
Also, Spike Jonze.
Oh, is he the one who directed this video?
Directed the video.
No, he's the Scorsese of music videos.
Yeah.
Did he do Sabotage? Pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I think he did do Sabotage. He did a bunch of great videos.
Earlier when I was going to say that Chavez video is my favorite video from the 90s, like it goes 50-50 hand in hand with Sabotage.
Well, Kevin, don't you have a Spike Jonze compilation?
I do somewhere, yeah. Like of just videos that he did and other shit and like, yeah, he's... The guy has been in his own for years and years and years, and this, you know, this video is like, I mean, essentially the narrative of the video, if for some reason you've either lost your sight at an early age and never seen anything, or like just didn't see this video when it came out. Your main character plays apparently downtrodden businessman in an otherwise nondescript,
like a jet lagged guy in a hotel who decides to get up and dance all over the hotel.
Yeah. And fly like Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Shane brought up something when we were watching the video that I had thought about too, which is that that Christopher Walken has a musical theater background, which is totally true.
Yeah, I just found that out recently, right, yeah. Which is really funny. He's carved out he's one of those few musicians or actors that has carved out a completely original niche for
there's
themselves.
Nobody else, yeah, like there's nobody else with his particular set of skills.
It's like Willie Nelson in music. There's no Willie Nelson anywhere.
Can I also say that and this won't be relevant for that much longer. It's probably not relevant right now during this chat, but Christopher Walken is the only person who I've ever done a one-word impression of, and that was his.
Go on.
That was his. That was one of his Letterman appearances where he came on and he went, "Dave," and it took like 25 minutes for that word to get out. But yeah, it's a little. You might think that's over the top or campy, but that's sort of what the show's about, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, Christopher Walken's one of those guys that he's now like the impression of him has entered the popular American canon.
Like the William Shatner impression, or...
It is. Yeah. Yeah. If that guy puts out an album, we have to do that record.
He has several.
Of course, we have to do all of them concurrently.
Oh, if Christopher Walken puts out an album?
Yeah, not Shatner.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Shatner. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes, we should. That's not a bad idea for a future theme. We've just come off of a month of theme shows, and we're keeping on going next week, too, by the way, while we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Chugging on through.
Next week is exciting. Next week is, and we've teased this the past couple of episodes, but next week, producer Mark hijacks the show.
I do.
I don't know if it's a hijacking if we planned it.
Well, I know. Well, but at the very least, we don't know what, I mean, true or false, boys, we don't know what Professor Mark.
Professor Mark.
We don't know. Well,
that's because he has glasses on.
That's his public enemy.
I'm starting to like this job more and more.
Name.
He's come in with glasses for the first time today, so your initial, he's a professor.
I don't know what Progressive Mark has in plan for us mañana.
Well,
next week or
Progressive Mark.
I'll go ahead and
I'm just going to jack it up every way I can.
I'll go ahead and let you guys in on
for the record
some secrets.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we're not going to be covering next week that did come up in my rotation, but I figured I would never live it down. King's X, Gretchen Goes to Nebraska, not going to be on next week's episode.
That would be
Houston band.
We will never, ever listen. Didn't that guy have like big spiky hair?
Yes,
well,
he did.
It was a Christian band.
Ty.
And they had one song I liked that I can't remember the name of now.
I played Hearts, Cards. I played Hearts with him at his apartment.
Interesting.
Yeah, right after
might have had no idea listening to King's X.
Another one that I chose not to pick was Wham's Make It Big.
Oh, my God.
You can thank me for that one later.
I probably would have had no problem.
I actually owned that when I was like 12.
Something else that came up recently in our discussions that we will not be listening to next week is EMF's Schubert Dip.
Also owned that.
Oh my God.
But I did have a list of things that I was really looking forward to, and I'm going to save some of these, I think, for later. But I think what it's come down to, what I'm really kind of looking forward to getting you guys to listen to, is an album by a very well-known band that was actually written in response to some of the strict censorship that went on in England when rock and roll was really kind of ramping up. And that is The Who Sell Out. So we're going to listen to that next week as our primary album. And I think you guys will get some good clips off that. And then I've got a couple of other things going on.
I plan to do windmills with my beers.
That sounds messy.
It's dangerous. Yeah. It sounds dangerous.
I'm just going to leave the lid on, and then we'll just see what happens.
I don't think it really matters if you leave the lid on, and then it just flies out of your hand. Like,
I mean, eventually you're going to open it.
Well, then in honor
he's thinking on his feet right now.
Then in honor of next week's show, I'm planning on getting tinnitus. So,
all right.
I'll do well, my
devotion to your craft.
Will you be wearing like big hearing aids next week?
I'll just be saying, you guys will like throw it to me and I'll go,
that's like a big horn.
Can I just say, years, many, many moons ago when the earth was different, Ryan and I were at spring break. And
you're not going to talk about my face plant, are you?
No, I'm going to talk about when we were down in South Padre Island, Texas. Stay with me, damn it. And Ryan somehow or another had brought along with him a giant rubber prosthetic ear, which he put over his regular ear. It was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times the size of a regular human ear. And then it's a 2-lane roadway in the middle of spring break, and it's just silly, and we're dumb, stupid kids. But Ryan had that ear on and was driving with the ear outside the window, and some car full of girls going the other way. We were like, hey, I like your ear. And Ryan turns and goes, what? Which still makes me happy to this day.
Yeah, I actually repeated that joke a lot during those days.
Can I get you to do another what? Lower volume so I can dub that in? Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I love how you're like, he had a giant, giant ear that was 3 times the size of a normal human ear that he wore over his normal.
If you saw it, it was stupid.
No, I wore it around like all week, and everybody's going like, hey, nice ear. And I was like, what? Yeah.
Anyway, it was a weird situation. Anyway, Ryan had a funny year. That's the end of the show.
Ryan had a funny year?
Well, I probably did. I had a funny ear, I think is what he
Right. Yes. Got it. Now that's what we're talking
about.
All
right, kids, let's get out of here.
Guys, that was a great show.
It was fun. It was a fun time.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to the next mixtape show. And Mark, handled next week with care.
Oh.
The Who sellout.
The Who sellout.
Isn't right. somebody sitting like in a bathtub with a can of beans on them on the cover of that or
something? Roger Daltrey is sitting in a tub of beans.
All right.
And
before
we go, so Mark will pick the record next week. He'll also do the intermission song, the Few Minutes With song, and he'll also do the Current Affairs song. So next week, Mark does us the great favor of just producing the heck out of these episodes, and so... we are unleashing his demon within to drag us through.
Let's and be honestly, honest with guys, I mean, this has been an arduous process for me because I did not want to disappoint you. I know that if nothing else, Sir Meatloaf has given us countless hours.
Oh, wait, none of us
riffing.
Are disappointed by Meatloaf. It gives us lots to talk about.
I agree.
Fodder,
but,
if you will.
But I also know that... that there is a whole host of things that I can dig through to try and get you guys to riff on. But I really do think that this is an album that is underrated, and I think that we're going
to
enjoy it.
I've never listened to a Who album all the way through.
Yeah, so. I don't particularly care for the Who, so I'm interested to sit
down. I find them to be a little overrated, but with, you know, flashes of genius. But anyway, we'll get into it.
All right, I'm going to go play pinball.
All right, guys.
All right.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week.